Thank you, Brother Randy, for those beautiful songs, for listening to the Lord as he guided you to sing those particular songs. The choir sang, you're the choir. Everything was so beautiful this morning, anointed by the Lord. That's what it's all about. Father's Day. Let's see what God would have us to learn about not only our earthly fathers. We've already heard wonderful comments about that. And if you do have an earthly father, you have had an earthly father that loved the Lord and guided you and took you to church, what a blessing that was. But all that was because of a heavenly father. Growing up, I had a wonderful earthly father, thank God for that, to grandparents on that served the Lord and honored him. And I'm so thankful for that. And then this morning, Sandra had wished me Happy Father's Day several times, and she said, here I go again wishing you Happy Father's Day. I guess you get tired of it. Hey, you don't get tired of that. Just let's keep a good thing going. We just get one day a year. Let's make the most of it. So, fathers, all that love, appreciation that you're showing today, all of that is not just to us. It's to our Heavenly Father. Because it's his love, it's because of him that we're even here this morning. Turn your Bible, please, to the book of 1 John, chapter 3. The first child that Sandra and I were going to have was miscarried. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. But one day in heaven, we won't know about that. But I'd yearned and desired to have a son, as most parents do, I suppose. Now, I never will forget the night Sandra was in labor all night long. And back in those days, they wouldn't let a father in. You had to sit out in the waiting room by yourself at night particularly. And every 3 or 4 hours, they'd come in and tell you, well, she's still alive. Nothing's changed much. But then finally, the doctor brought out, holding in his arms, Darren. I never will forget that look. Darren began at my feet looking straight at me, and his eyes went up to me. I wondered what that little boy was thinking. I mean, it just seemed like it took 30 seconds for his eyes just to, what have I come into now? But us fathers, we're so blessed. But when Michael was born, our youngest son, I got to go in be with Sandra all that particular time. And then her blood pressure had dropped so much that they were really afraid, you know, she might not make it. And Michael was born, and they gave him no attention whatsoever. They laid him upon this table about that high, just a little table about that big, it seems like, and gave him no attention whatsoever. And I was afraid he was going to kick off, fall off it. They weren't concerned about him. And being a father is quite an experience. Us fathers could go on and on about that. But anything worth anything begins with God, and it's he that has given us the opportunity and the blessings that are fathers. It's all because of him. And I'm persuaded to believe if we can understand more about the love of God. And I want to talk to you this morning for a little while about a father's love. I don't think anyone could love a child more than I love my two children. And I don't think a father could love any more than I love my four grandchildren. But all of that is because of Heavenly Father. 1 John chapter 1 talks about the love of God. And if we just spend a little time this morning looking at a father's love, it'll help us realize and understand that the blessings we have and the goodness that's been bestowed upon us is because of the Heavenly Father. Let's read three verses in 1 John chapter 3. Begin with verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. We have a Heavenly Father. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this occasion, this gathering, for the anointing that you've already placed upon the people of God this morning in this place, for the wall of prayer that was sung about, and then the numerous people that came to pray and seek your face. And just because many of us did not go to the altar doesn't mean we were not praying to, no doubt. There's been a wall of prayer this morning. Much of it's been in thanks and adoration to you. Much of it, no doubt, has been for lost children, maybe lost parents, lost brothers and sisters, a wall of prayer. But help us realize, Father, that the love of God is a conquering force. The love of God is so displayed by sending your Son, Christ Jesus. Now help us to proclaim and say what thus saith the Lord to us this morning. In the name of Jesus, we humbly pray with thanksgiving. Amen. I want to look at four things quickly this morning concerning a father's love. First of all, let's look at the concern of a father. Now, the reason he said that he hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God is because the concern and the love that he had for us. He had this love before the foundation of the world when he had already prearranged and said that Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, that was slain. And the concern he had for us, not that we deserved it, because we did not. Adam and Eve sinned. Eve is the mother of all living. We're all born in sin, shaping in iniquity. But God realized that he knew that you and I would be chosen by him. Let's look first of all at the scripture where it says, what manner of love? That word in the Greek means you can't understand it. It's not of this world. What manner of love anything in the world could display that God would be pleased to bruise his own son and send him into a sin-cursed world for sinners such as I that did not deserve anything from God? And yet, what manner of love? Unexplainable. No kind of love born in this world would have that kind of love. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us? Interesting word, because that same word bestowed in the Greek is a word that is translated gave many times. Let's read another verse of scripture that tells us in John chapter 3 and verse 16, a familiar verse. Same Greek word, for God so loved the world that he gave. And that's the same Greek word. God gave his only begotten son, and then he bestowed, he gave his love through his son that you and I might be called children of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, that's you, that's me, that's all the people in the world, hopefully they will believe, they haven't, most of them, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See how easy he made it? Believe the report. It's unexplainable how people that's in this world that God has given so much, give us America that we were born in, the land of the free and home of the brave and all the opportunities in America that he has given us. God has bestowed upon us, he has chosen us, that we could be called the sons of God. Not only we see the concern of the Father, how he loved us before we ever got here, but let's look how he explains our current status, how we are in this present world. He says that in this present world, of course, we go through sorrows, griefs, disappointments. But we're so loved of God that he calls us his own sons. Look what he says in John 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, all those that believed the report, that believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, virgin born, God the Father, and God gave him to this lost and dying world to sacrificially die, shed his blood, let it be applied to my heart. If we have believed that, John 1:12 says, but as many has received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Believe in your heart and I shall be saved. I look back at my father and I'm so thankful that he was my father. I was always proud of him. He was 6'6" tall, a rugged mountain man, had a seventh grade education. You see, he quit school in the seventh grade because he had an older brother that had three children. And that older brother had Lou Gehrig's disease, and he couldn't raise those children. Back in those days, if you didn't raise your own crops and garden in Canada, you starved during the wintertime. So my father, as a seventh grader, saw the need of that. He quit school and would walk back and forth about 2.5 miles, leading his mule, his dad's mule over there, to rear their crops and to raise their crops because my brother could not do that. And yet I admire Dad for that. Not only did I admire him, I believe God blessed him. He was the only person in the Walter family that I ever have heard of that lived to be almost 95 years old, lacking 7 days. God blessed him. In fact, those three nephews of his died a long time before he did, that he had stopped school. So when I look back at my earthly father, I was blessed. I'm blessed for the memory. But all those go back to the Father, our Heavenly Father, that he bestowed on him and bestowed on you and I, that we could be called children of God. How did it happen? Quite simply, he believed the report. He accepted the fact, just like you, just like myself, that we were born in sin and all we had to do was proclaim that Jesus died for my sins and accept that shed blood to my heart. We have sung about the love of the Father. We now read about the love of the Father, how he loved us. And now he's leading up to our current status in this world. Not only are we called the children of God, but look what he says in Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are called the sons of God. So he calls us children of God, sons of God, because we believe that he died for our sins and we accepted that role. And then when we're led by the Spirit. Now, when I was a young boy growing up, you didn't taste my father. He was meek and he was kind and he never really whipped me a lot. I learned how to avoid a lot of whippings. How'd you do that? Not because I was a good little boy, just because I didn't like whippings. And I learned that when Dad said something, he meant it. And he didn't like to have to repeat himself. In those days, I didn't have to wear a hearing aid, and I heard clearly what Dad said. And so we were reared to obey father and mother. And it was no problem for me to love my father. And that love that God had for him was displayed in the way he treated me, the way he treated my brother, my only brother. And so that led me to understand and know the role of an earthly father. But then I read the text, say, all this is because of the love of God. The current status in this world, look what he says in the next verse. Beloved, now are we called the sons of God. Right now, that word means that as soon as you got saved, and you're led by the Spirit, he calls us his son. Isn't that something? He chose us. He selected us. He died for us. Now, as the earthly father, we didn't have a lot of choice about our children. And in fact, we had dreams. You know, I hope that my sons would inherit certain traits from my father and mostly from my wife, their mother. But sometimes they inherited traits from me too. We don't know all that, do we? But one thing we do know, when we get saved by the grace of God and He calls us His sons, we inherit, He gives us traits of love. We're to love one another as He loved us. The greatest commandment is this, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart. And the second, that we love one another. That doesn't come easy, does it? Because a lot of people are unlovable. But yet God so loved the world when we were in sin, shaped in iniquity, and we weren't lovable at all. So this trait that our Heavenly Father has given to us, because He dwells within us, it deals with the fact that we can love one another. It's not of us. It's of the Father when we're led by the Spirit of God. And then He says in that verse, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, we're not home yet. Pilgrims and strangers going through this wicked world. And that's what we will be, but right now, I want to look at the fact that what He tells us in verse 1 again. Not only has He bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. That manner of love. It's out of this world. It's something we can't identify with. That kind of love. The same words is used by the disciples when they were out on the stormy sea and the ship was about to sink, and Christ Jesus comes and He just speaks the word and the wind ceased and the storm stopped and the sea went back to normal. And they said that same word. What manner of man is this? It was out of this world. No earthly person has the ability to speak a word and the sea has come and the wind is to cease. What manner of man is this? And it indicates and seems to me like the Son of God, which was of a heavenly place, place called heaven, He came and He was a man and yet full God. And the manner of man that He was in this earth, because He was God, transformed my life and yours, so we that were born in this world could be called the sons of God. The Son of God left heaven, came down, and was called the Son of Man. You and I were in this world, born of man, son of men. But because of His love, because He bestowed upon that, He gave Himself, and now we're called children of God. What manner of man could do that? What manner? It's not of this earth. It's of the Lord Jesus Christ, because His Father has given to us, has bestowed upon us. Let me get my water here. Thank you, Brother David. Bible tells us that manner of love is to be instilled in us. When you get saved, the love that He puts in their heart, that He wants to put in their heart, is to help us overcome all the adversity. Doesn't mean that life will be like a rose all the time, because there's thorns on the rose bushes. But at the same time, no matter what happens and what circumstance happens in their life, the current status is that He calls us sons of God. And the world don't understand that. Look what He said in that first verse. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, because we're of a new birth, a place in heaven birthed us and called us His children, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. So we shouldn't be dismayed or disappointed or discouraged when the world looks at us and we act like Christ. They may say, what manner of person is this that we could take hardship and still have a smile, that we go to the hospital and we lose loved ones and all the things the world goes through, and yet we never question God, and yet we never say God has not done us right, and yet we can have a smile in their face because of the love in their heart to know that He loved us, cares for us, and He calls us His children. There's a story, Elvis Presley died in around Memphis, Tennessee. I guess he was at Graceland Manor back in 1977, I believe. And when he died, naturally, he was called the king of what kind of music it was. And the Memphis paper, which Memphis, a large city, came out page number one, "The King is Dead." And then, less than a year later, a great evangelist, Dr. Robert E. Lee, R.G. Lee, pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church for many years, great evangelist, president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and other great works, just a great man of God, Memphis, Tennessee also. Less than a year later, he died, and you had to look hard and long to even find a little epitaph in there about R.G. Lee. Just a year before, "The King is Dead." The scripture just told us that the world don't understand this. "The world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." So why did the Memphis paper and all the world pay all that much attention to one of the famous singers of the day, and hardly any attention to R.G. Lee? Same as for you and I. You may be a great singer, a great father, a great businessman, great whatsoever, and that's wonderful. But then when you die, no matter what you've done for Christ, it will not be noticed. In fact, why are you going through this world today? And the things you do for God, not only will it not be noticed by the world, it will be discouraged and rejected by the world. Why? The world knew him not, and the world knows us not. So we're not alarmed. We're not disappointed when the world doesn't treat us right. This is our current status in this world. We've seen the concern of the Father, and he said, well, the world may not treat you right, but I'll save you and get you through this world. And in the midst of it all, we can have the joy of the Lord. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. We need strength as we pray and as we have burdens. And that strength is not a natural strength. It's of a different place. What manner? Undescribable, because it's not of this world. The manner of faith that we have and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ comes from him, because of him, that he gave his life. He gave his life for you and I. Let's look at the confirmation that we have eternal life. Yes, he lets us know that it's not just a hope so, it's not just maybe it will happen, but there is a confirmation that we will have eternal life. The current status is we're in this world. Unlike. But that doesn't matter. He calls us children. That's good enough for me. And as a child, we have all these rights. In Romans chapter 8, verse 19, let's look at the confirmation that he gives us of eternal life. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's us. He's already identified himself in 1 John chapter 1. Now, that word now means present tense, current status, as we're in this world, he calls us his sons. Confirmation of that, again, in Romans 8:19, the earnest expectation, waiting for the manifestation. We are supposed to act